one or two or even three parties, as suggested, say they are the answer. They are the cure, right? They're the answer. And I believe that Christians, now hear me clearly, I believe Christians should be involved politically. We're not going to get all political today, but just a little bit, okay? We got a big day coming up here in 2 days, right? I do believe Christians should be involved politically. I believe that we should vote. But first, we look to God's Word and we base our decisions based on what Scripture has to say. We should vote knowing that our president can get balls rolling in certain areas, and our president will choose to not, or will nominate someone to be on the Supreme Court. It's not something that we should take lightly when we vote. But we should not look to a president or to a political leader to bring us joy and certainty and security. Amen, church? Our government leaders, they have their roles. They are very critical roles. They have a responsibility to help, according to the Bible, to help restrain evil and promote what is good. And we have a responsibility to be a part of the process to elect the right people for those roles. We have the responsibility to submit to authority unless they demand that we live in a way that is contrary to God's Word. We covered this back this summer when we were walking through Acts. Acts 5:29 says that we must obey God rather than man. Amen, church? Amen. So according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, we must pray for those in positions of authority over us. The responsibility, the demands, the stress, man, they can't be easy. Man, you look at the last few presidents and how much gray hair they get. Well, you know, you look at their photo when they got in and when they get out, man, it's stressful. So we pray, church. This is how we pray. We pray that they would listen to godly counsel. We pray that they would be surrounded by people that could speak wisdom into their life. And ultimately, we want to pray for their salvation. Amen, church? We want to pray that we have godly leaders. There are issues in our country right now where we are just flat out missing the bar. In areas of valuing and protecting the sanctity of human life. Valuing each human life, regardless of their age, their social status, the color of their skin. Valuing each human life, regardless of all of those things, of what makes them different. Valuing, protecting, church, the family, and marriage in a way that God intended it to. Man, we didn't design marriage. We don't get to dictate how it should look. That belongs to God. We're missing the mark in our country in speaking the truth. We live in a culture of no absolute truth. Right? Jesus tells us, God's Word tells us different. But the truth, man, let's reject like Westboro Baptist type stuff, right? Amen, church? That's not, first of all, it's not truth. And second of all, it's hateful. That does not represent Christ. So we speak truth, absolutely, but we do it in love. And a lot of us, we're missing, even in the church, we're missing the mark when it comes to loving our neighbors. We want to represent Christ here on earth. We love our neighbors. Amen? Man, we love our neighbors. Our culture tells us, look to this man, look to this woman, look to this party for hope. Praying for our leaders and electing the right leaders is very important. Church, hear me clearly. Go vote. Go vote. Look to God's Word. Get on your knees in prayer and get your butt to the polls, church. Amen, church? Man, we have a responsibility to do that. I just said butt from the pulpit. That sounds weird. Is that okay? Is that all right, guys? All right. But we pray. We get on our knees. Lord, direct us. And I read a quote this week, I'm not going to get it right, but it said, our Christian and brothers, man, we need to value that relationship even if they vote differently than us. Right? But we must understand, church, as followers of Jesus Christ, while our leaders are important, we cannot buy into the line that politicians are our hope. God can and will use leaders. But the role of providing hope, the role of providing ultimate joy, the role of giving direction to what is right, that is the role of the Messiah, church. That is the role of Jesus. In God's goodness, He does provide for us in times just leaders. But even when we have just leaders, even then our hope is still not based on them. It's based on Christ and the promises of God's Word. Man, Christians, man, it's a mess out there right now. Amen? I mean, it's a mess, and we're looking to these men and these women to offer us hope. The real power, the real place of power is not in Washington, D.C., but in God, church. It's in the Word of God. It's in the person of God. And God has blessed this country. Man, we're in a world of hurt, but God is still, we're still a blessed country. He's allowed us great privileges and freedoms. He's allowed us men. He's provided us men and women that bravely put on a uniform, whether that looks like a firefighter's uniform or a police officer or a border patrol or a service military. And they protect us. They protect our ways of life. They protect us here and abroad. And praise God, He's brought us some good leaders. Right? We've had some good leaders and good men and women that have suited up to protect us. But Christians, America is great, but it doesn't change this. God is God. God holds the whole world in His hands. We're voting on an election where you're going to have probably the most powerful person in the world. But God is still God. I think we can lose sight of that, even as followers of Christ. As we begin our series on counterculture today, and we're going to do this later, but when we walked through this last year where we focused on issue after issue, and we're going to do that, but today our focus isn't going to be directed on a particular issue. It's going to be focused on the presence and the sovereignty of God. How is this counterculture, Pastor Jeff? What is the point? Here it is. Culture says this. Trust in us. Trust in a political party. Place your hope in this person or that idea or else. That's kind of the idea that we're getting right now. Place your hope in us or else. Culture says the world's problems are too big. Outside of us, there's no hope. You want to succeed? Rely on us. And it's hard to deny that this is the garbage that society is pushing. Look at our political season. Anybody, country fans? Any country music fans? Anybody watch the CMA? Okay, I watched the replays of it, man. And they were just kind of making fun at the very beginning. They're like, please Lord, can this season be over? Right? I mean, it's been hard on our country. But our political season, lots of fear tactics, lots of lying and deceiving. Messages of false hope. There are good ideas out there. There are good leaders out there. There are good ideas that we hear decent visions being casted. But when society and our culture says that in them is where our confidence should be, man, we can't believe them. We have to say not according to God's Word. Right? We know that God is sovereign. He is in control. And as Christians, if we're followers of Christ, He is with us. Man, I was praying before I came up here this morning, and sometimes I just pray like, God, be with me. And it's just like, wait a minute. God, thank you for being with me already. Even when I'm not aware, He is with me. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua, sixth book of the Bible. You got the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. I'm going to step down here. Is that okay? I feel like I'm leaning over. Here, so I'm going to get closer. Is that all right? Just kick me if I get too close. Before we dive in, I want to set up the scene of what we're coming to in Joshua chapter 1. What's going on that leads up to here? We have a man named Moses. You guys familiar with Moses, right? He's chosen by God to lead His people out of bondage. Moses, the man who had led the people of God really ever since the book of Exodus, right? He's been the guy. He's been the leader. Four out of five books in the Bible up to this point, we've seen Moses as the main leader of God's people. And in the chapter right before Joshua in the Bible, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, there is a huge event in Israel's history that happens. Moses dies. The leader they have known and trusted, He's no longer with them, but God has promised to His people that they will be led into the promised land. Right? That's the promise they know. And they're like, wait a minute, where's this God? Where's our leader at? Where's our leader? God would give them a land to call their own. It's taken them a long time and a lot of discipline and time of learning to get here, but now they're on the brink of going in and claiming the land that was promised to them, and their leader is dead. Just imagine the uncertainty around that. Just imagine, just kind of, man, what's going to happen? We can kind of get that picture right now, right? We know what we have in our president and our leadership right now, right? We can like it or not, but that's what we've got, right? And we know what we have, but we're coming up, I'm like, I'm just going to be honest, church. I have no idea what's coming, right? I mean, it's just like, what are we going to get? And for them, it's uncertainty. What in the world are these people going to do without Moses? And then we have Joshua. Joshua was being appointed as the successor to Moses. And they knew Joshua, but there was really no certainty in how he would lead, or if he would lead well, or if he would fall on his face. Right? We just don't know. So you have the people of God who have been in the desert for 40 years, following a leader that was chosen by God. They knew what they had in Moses, and they're about to enter into the promised land, and they know it's not going to be easy, and then their leader dies. Right? Right after he hands off the baton to Joshua. And that leads us to where we are today. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Let's stand together as we read God's word. Can we do that? Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. Verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you that you are a God that is sovereign, and you are God even amidst our uncertainty right now. In 2 days, Father, we as a nation, we are going to go to the polls. Some of us already have early ballots, God. And Father, get us on our knees and approach the throne of you, of God, the throne of grace. The one that has all wisdom, Father, help us get on our knees before you and say, Father, lead me as I go and vote. And God, help us as believers in this nation to stop whining and complaining and get on our knees, stay on our knees and pray for our leaders. Because we know, God, that you've allowed them to be there. So, Father, we pray for President Obama and Vice President Biden. We pray for our Congress. We pray for our Supreme Court. We pray for our local rulers. We lift them up to you, Father. We pray, Lord, there would be godly counsel, wise men and women around them that would lead them or help them lead, Father. God, and ultimately we pray that our leaders would come to know you as their Savior. Help us not be a church. Help us not be a people. Help us not be Christians that stop praying for our leaders. You've commanded it, Father. Lord, we pray for our leaders. Be with us today as we open up God's Word and understand that ultimately you are God and you are in control. And we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And together we said, amen. You may be seated. as we look to God's Word, we want to look to understand this passage and look to apply it to our lives. That's what we do. We open up God's Word. We don't just look at it and walk away. We talked about that last week, right? We look to God's Word. What is it saying? What is happening? What's the context? Right? What is God wanting me to get from this passage? And how do we apply it to our lives? When we read this passage, there are a couple phrases that stick out because they're repeated. They're repeated. A couple ones are repeated three different times. We're going to look at those. And one of them, the first one we're going to look at is a promise from God to Joshua. God says in verse 5, "Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you." That's a cool promise, isn't it? And the Lord rephrases it just a little bit later. Still in verse 5, He says, "I will not fail you or forsake you." To not fail here means that God will not abandon you. He will not let go. He will not let you alone. It means that God in this responsibility, He will not lack in that responsibility. So He will not fail you, and then He will not forsake, meaning that God will not desert you. He will not leave you behind. So God is, He says it, and then He reassures again with Joshua, "I will be with you." Verse 9, at the end of our text, God says it again to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous, do not tremble, be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Three times God says, "Joshua, I will be with you." And that's a good word for him. It's a good word for us too, but that's a good word for Joshua. It's not the first time he's heard it. A few chapters back, Deuteronomy chapter 31. You can turn there if you want, but we're just going to kind of run through it fairly quickly, and some of the verses will be up there. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Moses is speaking to Joshua and to God's people before he dies. This is Moses speaking. He's telling them, hey, God is going ahead of you into the promised land. He's going ahead of you. He will deliver the land and the people to you. He tells the people there that Joshua is going to be their next leader. And then in that chapter, in verse 6, Moses says, this is going to sound familiar, Moses is saying this, "Be strong and courageous." He's saying this to the people. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God, the one who goes with you, He will not fail you or forsake you." You go down to verse 8. Now Moses is just, it's just Moses and Joshua time, right? They're kind of having some discipleship time. He says to them, "The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." I hope Joshua's getting the point, right? I always get the point. In the midst of all this uncertainty, when facing a possible roadblock to God's plan, according to these people, in the midst of change, in the midst of change in leadership, a change in location, and all of this stuff that's going on, Moses is saying to Joshua, and then more importantly, God is saying to Joshua, "I am the God that goes before you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you." And I love this. Moses doesn't say, "Hey man, I'm Moses. I will be with you. I won't forsake." He doesn't say that, does he? He says, "God will." No human can make that promise. Be careful, believers, as we look to leaders sometimes. No human can make that promise. That's why when Moses says it, he points to God. That's why when God says it, he points to himself. Church, when God is with you, you have confidence amidst uncertainty. You have confidence in the presence of God, even when you are surrounded by uncertainty. So Moses dies. There's this uncertainty amidst the people. And in their new leader, so in verse 1 we see this. This is a great reminder, church. Here we go. "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant." Check this out, church. Right from the start of this book, we're reminded that Moses, although a great leader, he was a servant of the Lord. You guys catching that? The Lord was still with His people. Moses was checking out. The Lord's still with His people. Moses was only a servant. The Lord in verse 5 says to Joshua, "Just as I was with Moses, which is my servant, so I will be with you." So the man who leads God's people is important. We pray for our leaders. You pray for your pastors. You pray for your teachers. You pray for your Sunday school teachers. You know, whatever it is, you pray for these leaders that lead the people. The man who leads God's people is important, but it's ultimately not what or who matters. Ultimately, what matters is the Lord who leads His people. And when He is with His people, they can have confidence when surrounded by uncertainty. It was never about Moses. It was never about Moses, and it's not going to be about Joshua. And we're going to talk about that later today when we look at Joshua and his name. It was always about God. So they can have confidence in God's presence. Are you guys with me on that? It's important. Every word of God in His Word is important. And it's important that He says Moses, the servant of God. That's what he is. He's a servant of God. When we look to the New Testament, we see Jesus lay out for us the Great Commission. Jesus has come. He's lived. He died in our place. He rose again. Praise God. He rose again. And then He lays out this Great Commission. He says, go and make disciples. Lead people to Me. Connect people to Jesus, right? Go and make disciples. Baptize them. Don't leave them hanging. Teach them all I have commanded. And then He wraps up with the promise. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 5 through 6, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Even in the very name of Jesus, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child. Who's this child, church? Jesus. And shall bear a son, and they shall call Him Emmanuel, which shall be translated what, church? God with us. Let's say that. Which should be translated God with us. In whatever ways the Lord leads you. In whatever way He leads our church. In whatever He allows us to go through in life, He is with us. He will not fail us. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. There is no leader that could ever say that. No human leader that could ever say that. But we have a God that has said that, and His character has proven to be true. It doesn't matter if it's in our own lives, within our church or our country. Our certainty is not dependent on a particular leader or a platform or a party, but on the Lord God who will guide us with His presence. So it's not, God, will you be with me? It's, God, thank you for being with me. We know that there can be uncertainty in our lives, in my life, in your life. Oh my goodness, there is uncertainty in there. I struggle with anxiety. Why? Because there is uncertainty. Amen? Here's a question, church. Let's just hear God say this this morning. Let's hear God say this this morning. I am with you, and you can be confident in Me. Just hear God say that. Whatever you're walking through, just hear God say, I'm with you, and you can have confidence in Me. Right? Here's the cool thing. Hillary Clinton can't say that. Donald Trump can't say that. Johnson can't say that. No man can say that. No woman can say that. Well, let's just hear Jesus and God say, I'm with you, and you can have confidence in Me. So when God is with you, you have confidence amidst this uncertainty in church. You have strength even in weakness. The first phrase that we saw repeated was, I am with you. I am with you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. And what a fantastic promise. The second phrase we see repeated is this, be strong and courageous. We saw Moses said it a couple times in Deuteronomy. Then in verse 6, the Lord says, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. And then again in verse 9, have I not commanded you? What, church? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So we're going to look at the strength, and then we'll look at the next part here in a second. When God is with you, if you are a child of God, and hear me clearly, you must be a child of God. If you are saved, the Bible says that God is with you, and you have strength in Him despite your weakness. Joshua needed God's strength. And we're not going to turn there again for time's sake, but But this isn't Joshua's first go-around of leading and trying to step up to the plate. In the book of Numbers, chapter 14, Joshua and a man named Caleb and 10 other men, about 40 years prior to this, they had gone into the promised land. Moses sends them out to scout and spy on this land. Say, what are we looking at? What do we need to do? If you need to look that up, Numbers chapter 14. And those 12 spies, they come back and they say this: hey man, this land that God has promised, it's flowing with milk and honey. It's plentiful. It's a great land, man. It's exciting. It looks good, right? But then 10 of the spies, 10 of these men of God's people, they say, but we can't take it. We can't do it because they are too big. They are too powerful. We'll never be able to do this. And Caleb and Joshua are standing up and they're saying, yes, we can. God's given us this land. In Numbers chapter 14, Joshua specifically rises to speak and he tells his people, people, we can take this land. And guess how the people responded to Joshua? They wanted to rise up to stone him. And at this point, most of those people are probably gone. This is probably the next generation. But if you've been a leader and you stood up, you manned up or womaned up, right? And you, is that right? Can I say that, woman, ladies, right? Woman up, right? Man up, right? So you man up, you woman up, and you do what's right. And then people want to like stone you? I've had my kids throw pebbles at me before. I sure as heck don't want people throwing stones at me, like those big ones, right? And so all those people are probably gone. I can bet that memory didn't go away for Joshua. Right? You guys have been in a leadership position? Well, most of, maybe all of us have at some point or another. Joshua knows that leading these people is not going to be easy. He knows, left to his own abilities in leading, he will fail. He can't do it. I get reminded of that every time I try to lead on my own strength. Amen, church, right? We do that. We try to lead on our own strength. Try to be a parent on your own strength. Woo! Good luck with that one, right? And so God is saying to him, I'm with you. Even though you are weak, with me, you are strong. Joshua could lead these people knowing that they didn't have to rely on their strength or on his strength. Their strength came from the presence of the Almighty God. Many times I feel weak, right? I feel like I'm in over my head. Anybody ever feel like that? I'm just in over my head. I'm going to tell you, weekly, church, I feel that way. I'm in over my head. But we have these promises that God, we have our strength in the Lord. But when there is a spiritual battle, the Bible's very clear, right? Our battle is spiritual, right? It's not against flesh and blood. When there's a spiritual battle waging around me, I get to look to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It doesn't say be strong in Levi and the power of Sam's might, right? It doesn't say that. Be strong in who, church? The Lord God and in the power of His might. And we want to use this in the proper context. Philippians 14, when speaking of serving Christ and the afflictions that come with that, he says, I can do all things through Him, through Christ who strengthens me. He's not talking about winning a ball game or arm wrestling match or doing good on a test, church. I just want to throw that out there. Amen? Right, Paul is saying, I can do what God has called me to do. I can endure affliction. I can endure suffering for Christ's sake. I can live with humble means for the sake of the gospel. Why? Because Christ gives me strength. Man, I need this morning, right? I mean, man. Church, when we go through life, when we are walking with Christ, when there are moments of weakness and there are moments of weakness, God is with us. And God is telling Joshua in verses 2 through 5, He's laying out, this is what you got to do, dude. It's in the Hebrew somewhere, right? Dude, it's in there. He's telling him, this is what you got to do, verse 2 through 5. We'll look at those in a second. But then he assures him. God assures him and he reassures him and he reassures him that God is with him and he gives him the strength he needs even in his weakness. You guys remember this song? It's more of a kid's song. Our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do. You guys know that song? That's an amazing song. Our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do. Church, God is with you and gives you the strength to do what He has called you to do. Even in your weakness, we have the strength to do the right thing in the world around us. Don't let this political junk wear you down where you can't stand up and do what's right, church. We have the strength to do what God has called us to do and walk as He has called us to walk. Young people, hear me clearly. Topher, Josh, Mason, Monty, hey Haley, right? Your friends are going to tell you, man, that stuff is old news. That stuff is just something. No, this is the Word of God. You got young people, you hear me? Guys? Young people? All right. God is with us and will strengthen us to do what is right. Amen? All right. Cool. When God is with you, you have confidence in the midst of your uncertainty. You have strength in your weakness to do what God has called you to do. In church, when God is with you, you have courage when facing that fear. Look at verse 2. Here's what he's telling him. Moses, my servant, is dead. That's the bad news, right? He's gone. Therefore, get to work, right? Therefore, arise. He didn't say chill out for a little bit. He didn't say take a vacation. He says, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you, just as I spoke to Moses from the wilderness and the Lebanon, even as far as the great river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. And then check this out. Here's your job, people. Joshua, right? Here's your job. And then this. No one, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Why? Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to the fathers, to their fathers to give them. God is using a leader here, right? But it's God doing the work. Amen, church? You guys see me? Right? I mean, he's got a great leader here, but God is doing the work. And this is great. God says, every place your footsteps will be yours. It shall be your territory. No man, no woman, no idea, nothing will be able to stand before you. And the greatest of all of this, I will be with you. Joshua hasn't even fought one battle in the promised land yet, and God has already guaranteed them victory. What a great God. Amen, church? What a great God. In our culture, we hear one fear tactic. It's trying to scare us, one thing after another. But we serve a God. We serve a God who is with those that call Him Lord, a God who is sovereign over all, who reigns over all creation, over all nations, over all leaders. He holds the world in His hand, church. He spoke this world and everything in it into creation. And when this God is on your side, you have nothing to fear. Joshua would face an enemy and a challenge that would cause fear. But with the Lord on his side, he would have the courage in the face of that fear. Last week, we talked about God's Word being planted in our heart and being doers and not only hearers, right? We know God's Word is vital. We know God's Word is vital. So notice, God doesn't leave that out. Notice how everything in this text hinges on God's Word to Joshua and God's Word to his people. Here we go. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. The picture here is that success is tied to obedience to God's Word. Are you guys with me? The book of the law, for Joseph, this would have been the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy. But it refers to all of Scripture because we know God is sovereign over all Scripture and it's all God-breathed. So the book of the law, God's Word, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Just think about that for a little bit. Meditate on God's Word day and night. You look at people's social media postings. I would dare say sometimes we're not meditating on God's Word. We're meditating on everything else. Meditate on God's Word day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Not some of it, all of it. For then you will make your ways prosperous and then you will have success. says, you will have success, God says, when you meditate on my word and you do what I have commanded there. If we're not going to do this, but if you looked ahead, man, I could preach on this like all day long. Anybody want? No, nobody wants to stay that long. If you look ahead into this chapter, Israel's military, all of their success that they have in the book of Joshua is never based on the strength of their military. Their success is never determined by human strategy or by human strength. Are we clear on that? Are we getting that? Their battles are tied to whether or not they are obeying God's word. When they're walking in obedience to God's word, they win the battle. On the flip side, when they're not walking in obedience to God's word, and they face a small, wimpy little army, they could be defeated. Here it is, church. You have success according to God's word. You have success according to God's word. All of our confidence, this courage, the strength, the success, they are all determined on our trusting in God's presence and clinging to and meditating on His word. Our culture says this. Here is the path to success. Here is the path to winning, right? I mean, we hear that. You want to have success? You want to win? You want to get that hot woman? You want to get that studly dude, right? You want to, whatever, I don't know what girls say, right? I mean, you want to have success? You want to be the man, the woman, right? Here's the way to do it. But we can see that true success, when we look through all the scripture, is dependent on God's presence and trusting and following His word, church. Being obedient to Him, my son's life verse, my oldest son's life verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. I've done that. We see where that gets us, right? And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. He will make your path straight. So for us, which is counter to culture, we know what God says. He says, listen to my voice. Listen to my word. Hear it. Meditate on it. Know that I'm with you, and you will have success. Bible says God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. For real success, for real victory, we follow God's word. And it's proven and true. Amen, church? It's proven and true. The last point comes from verse 9. I know the joke. When you hear the pastor say the last point, we've still got another 30 minutes. We'll see. I don't know. Look at this verse one more time with me. God says to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Not suggested. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous! Exclamation point. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you sometimes. No, wherever you go. Amen, church? Wherever you go. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. Don't be broken. Don't be discouraged or cast down. And we can easily do that. I can tell you, I'm a little worried, you know, in a couple days from now. I'm just going to be honest with you. But I have confidence. Fleshly, I'm worried, but spiritually, my life and my heart is encouraged because the Lord goes with us. Don't let your heart give way to despair, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua's leader, his mentor, has passed away. Anybody ever lost somebody that's a mentor or a leader to them? You guys ever lost somebody like that? Man, that stinks. And he's lost that. And now, with this huge task in front of him of leading God's people into the promised land, man, that dude's got to be feeling overwhelmed. He could easily say, no way. There's no way it's going to happen. There's no hope. The task is too big. The people are too strong. I can't do it. We can't do it. And Joshua is reminded and commanded to be strong and courageous. He says, don't fear. Don't lose hope. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When God is with you, church, you have hope and despair. Earlier we talked briefly about being a spy, Joshua being a spy, sent in to scope out the promised land along with 12 other men. I want you guys to make sure we're really catching along. I want you guys to really follow, because you're going to have to track with me on this one. 12 men are sent out. And then in the book of Numbers in chapter 13, we see their names listed. Who's going out? And then chapter 16, we see something interesting as Moses is going through this. It says this. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. He lists those, but Moses calls Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Moses changes Joshua's name from Hoshea to Joshua. Now, we don't have a verse that says, "Hearest, whyest, thouest happened," right? We don't have King James, in case you're wondering. I don't know. Right? We don't have one that says this is why the name changed. But what we do know is names have meanings. Anybody know what the meaning of their name is? I forgot. I think my sister's like, Melissa's like Bumblebee or something. It's like, what? Right? Like, we have names. And when you look through Scripture, names are important. Amen? You guys with me? They're important. You guys tracking? Here we go. The name Hoshea carries the meaning salvation. Hoshea means salvation. And Moses takes the name Hoshea and changes it to Joshua. Joshua, his new name, means no longer salvation. It means Yahweh is salvation. That's a pretty darn cool transition right there. Jehovah God is salvation. Joshua is not salvation. Moses was not salvation. Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton are not salvation. Amen? God is salvation. He is the deliverer. Joshua needed God. God was the one that would bring him and his people deliverance. God is the one that would bring his people and Joshua victory. And God is the one that would bring hope. That's good stuff right there. That takes a lot of pressure off us, doesn't it? For us as followers of Christ, we know that our hope is found in God. Our hope is found in Jesus Christ and the work that he did on the cross and his resurrection. The name Jesus is translated to mean the Lord is salvation. That's pretty cool, huh? The Lord saves. The Lord delivers. We spend all this time talking about God's presence in Joshua chapter 1. God's promises that he would be with them. And then we look to the Gospels and the New Testament and we see God, he literally, church, comes down in the flesh to dwell among his people. The presence of God dwelling with and among his people. Dwelling with and among a people who were separated from God's presence because of their sin and our sin. Jesus came to be that hope, that salvation, the deliverer. He came to be God with us. How amazing is that? God pursues us. The culture around us tells us, without this person or that person, you have no hope. You don't vote for this person, you're screwed, right? That's what we're hearing. You're in trouble if you don't vote for this person. Without this party, without this platform, without this person, there is no hope. They tell you, without this job, without this money, without this cute girl on your arm, without this car, this stud, there is no hope. Before Christ, our sinful condition is, guess what, church? No hope. So there is no car, there is no woman, there is no man, there is no party, there is no person that will ever provide you that hope. It's found in Jesus. And this is the story of the world around us. We have all sinned against God. Track with me on this one, church. We've turned away from God. We've separated ourselves from God. This is the ultimate explanation of what is wrong in the world around us. This is the ultimate explanation of what is wrong in our lives. We and the world we live in have turned away from our Creator God. And the effects of us turning from Him are all around us. Even in here in the precious, great United States of America. And the ultimate need we all have is to be reconciled to God. To be restored to God's presence. The good news, the great news is that Jesus came to make that possible. Jesus came to live the life that we couldn't live. Yeah, Jeff, this is boring. I've heard this 100,000 times. If this bores you, your wood is wet, church. You should be on fire over this stuff every time we hear about this stuff. Although he was perfect, although he was God in the flesh, Jesus stood in our place and hung on the cross that you and me deserve, church. Amen? He suffered willingly. Those men didn't put him on the cross. He did that on his own. He took our separation from God for our sin. Why have you forsaken me? He cries out. And in doing so, He purchased our reconciliation to God the Father. Apart from God, we are separated from God in our sin. Without Christ, we have no confidence. We have no strength. We have no courage. We have no eternal success or hope. That's why the world is the way it is. That's why America is the way it is. Because we put our hope and our trust in men and women. And the Republicans and the Democrats. And the independents. Church, hear me clearly. Go vote. Pray before you go vote. But without Christ, we have no confidence and no strength and no courage and success or hope. It's only through trusting in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one who saves, trusting in the one who delivers, that these promises become a reality for you and me. Trusting in a person or a platform offers nothing compared to what we have in Christ, church. Amen. Politicians are not our hope. Let's stop putting that pressure on them. Yep, I said that. We put that pressure on them. Now, don't get me wrong, they carry it themselves too, but we put that pressure on them. They are not our hope. That belongs to Jesus. If we have somebody here that doesn't know Christ today, or if you guys have friends that don't know Christ, here is a message that you invite them to realize. That apart from Jesus Christ, you are separated from God in your sin. That's not a popular statement, is it? The Bible tells us that we fall short in our sin. We are separated from God. But God made a way for you to be restored. Restored to your Creator. Jesus came. He died. He suffered in my place. In your place. He came so that when you turn from your sin and trust in Christ, you will be restored to God. Right now, where you are, we can say, whether there's somebody here that needs Jesus or whether it's somebody that we're going to talk to this week, you can let them know that right now, where you are, by having faith in Jesus and what He did for you. Man, we have those promises. Here's what's great. When you place your faith and your trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, or if you've already done that, these promises are true for you. They all become yours in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Thank you, Lord, for this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. I know what my flesh looks like, church. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Church, on our own, we are separated from God, but with Jesus, and we're made new. We're forgiven. We're made clean. And you can know. Here's the reality. Amidst all this uncertainty in this messed up world, in the face of fear, in the face of weakness, in the face of chaos, God is with you. Say that with me, church. God is with you. Wow, that was really good. God is with you. Man, I get to walk through life with a lot of you, but I don't know what everybody and every single person is going, right? I mean, we don't know what everybody's going through in life right now. I don't know what circumstances you guys are facing. What I do know is that if we're saved, if we made Jesus Lord of our life, it doesn't matter what the devil and his buddies throw at you. Because ultimately the battle is not yours alone. And hear me clearly on this one. Satan, when he battles you, has to come face to face with the God of this universe and the Savior of this world. Because Jesus has already claimed victory. Friends, it doesn't matter what culture is saying. It doesn't matter what's happening in this world around us. And it can be scary. It's unknown, right? We're walking through this time of uncertainty. Here's a reality. None of this catches God by surprise. He's like, oh, woo, this happened, right? I mean, nothing catches God by surprise. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He goes before you. Whoever wins this election, whatever happens in this country, God is still God. Amen? And He is with you. Father, we love you. We thank you that you are with us. When we call you Father, when we call you Abba, Father, when we call you Daddy, you are with us. When we trust you as our Lord and Savior, you are with us. in our messed up world, in the culture that says this is how you have success, this is how you have hope, this is how this and this and this, this is the person that you trust in, this is the person or the platform you rely on. We can say, bull, we rely in God, we rely in Jesus, we rely in God's Word. God, help us as believers as we face these next couple days. Help us get down on our knees, put our faces on the ground, and say, Lord God, lead me as I vote. Lead me, Father, as I step out into this world. Lead me as I face uncertainty because I know You are in control. What a great God we serve. We see it in Joshua's life and we see it in ours. You're a consistent God that remains sovereign. Lord, no leader is ever in position without You allowing them to be there. Forgive us, Father, for not praying for our leaders. Forgive us, Father, for not praying for our leaders. God, help us trust in the Word of God as true and accurate and perfect. Whether we're at school, whether we're at work, whether we're in our homes. God, give us confidence. Let us know we have confidence. Let us know we have hope. Let us know we can be bold and courageous and strong because of You.